Well, brethren, it is the season to talk about the Passover, talk about Jesus' sacrifice, unarguably the most important event that has taken place in human history. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you and I don't have a role, we don't have a place, there is no significance to our existence. So while the creation and while the human creation is a marvelous, marvelous event, series of events, you and I would have to say the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the single most important event to have ever occurred, and as nearly as we understand how these things work, to have ever occurred, and we're talking about the future. So the brief message I have for us today is about that sacrifice, and more specifically about Jesus as the Lamb of God. So for those of you who like titles, I've titled this short sermon, The Lamb of God and the Tale of Two Passovers. Yes, I'm saying two Passovers. The Lamb of God and the Tale of Two Passovers. Now, I'm going to toss out a date right now, April 18th. April 18th. Is that date significant to you this year? Think about that for a few seconds. April 18th. Is that date significant to you this year? Well, for you and me, that event is, or that day, is the daylight portion of Nisan 14. And at 3 p.m. that particular day, I'm going to request that you think about the literal sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. At 3 p.m. on April 18th, please make a note to think, to meditate, to say a prayer briefly about Jesus' sacrifice at 3 p.m. that day. The simple truth is that you and I are among a few people, just a very, very small group of people on the face of the earth, who even know to think about that particular issue and understand the significance of that issue. We're so privileged to know about the sacrifice of our Savior. But you and I need to think about the fact that that sacrifice was a closure to a system that Jesus permitted to develop under Old Testament law, or I should say more accurately, Old Covenant law. So from that point of view, we have to think about the fact that Jesus wears many titles. He is Yeshua Messiah, he is Jesus Christo, he is Jesus the Savior, he is the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, he is the Lord of Lords. But today we want to focus on the fact that he is the Lamb of God. So I'm asking over the next few minutes that, brethren, you and I focus on that title, the Lamb of God. And I have one simple question for us today as we think about the Lamb of God. Why, oh why, did Jesus participate in two Passovers as he began to look at the closing of his physical life? He had just those 33 and a half years on the earth. Why, oh why, did he participate in two Passovers? Do we think about that, and do we understand the significance of those two Passovers? Now, you might be mystified by thinking in these terms, but I'm talking about two separate events that took place on Nisan 14 during that particular year. There were two Passovers. And this is not some heresy. We're not talking about a heresy. We're talking about Jesus' attempt to close what had been allowed to develop under Old Covenant law. Now, more specifically, we want to focus on why there was the celebration of Passover between the two evenings on Nisan 14, and why there was a Passover at 3 p.m. during the daylight portion of Nisan 14. We want to look at those two events today. How did those two Passovers develop, and why did our Savior incorporate both? Why was it important for him to be a part of both? Well, let's start by going where Mr. Wright took us last time. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 12. Let's flip back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, an important chapter, as Mr. Wright pointed out last time. Specifically, we begin in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be the beginning of your months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And you and I know now that we're talking about the sacred year. Speak to all the congregations of Israel, saying, On the 10th day of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. That is, everybody should have access to eating of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. So God doesn't have anything against goats. Goats are permissible in this ceremony. We know that goats, of course, are used in biblical imagery to represent those who are rebellious and so forth. But please note that a young goat, a kid, would have been suitable for this event as well. He continues, verse 6, Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Mr. Wright explained, we're talking about between the two evenings, that Hebrew word for between the two evenings. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost, as you know. That was the inauguration of the Passover. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. Verse 10, you shall let none of it remain until the morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt I will exercise judgment. I am the Eternal. Now, this was the inauguration of the Passover. But according to many sources that I've researched and that you could research, this is known historically as the domestic Passover. It was instituted domestically for each household. Now, why is this significant for you and me? Why should we think about this? Well, there's a mini lesson in this for me, and I hope for you, and that is each of us under the new covenant are supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants a relationship with you and me through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the domestic Passover under the old covenant was the way to make that relationship personal. Each family had a lamb, or a combination of families had a lamb or a kid, and they were meant to participate in the consumption of that lamb to represent, of course, the sacrifice that was coming. Now, the Israelites didn't understand this fully. Most did not grasp the symbology of this particular event, but you and I do. We know better. We can see this looking back on the past. So a domestic Passover for you and me is meant to be a reminder that we are to have an individual relationship with God. But as my sources pointed out, and sources that you could research yourselves, another Passover was allowed to develop 777 years later. A different Passover was allowed to develop 777 years later after the institution of the domestic Passover. It's that other Passover we want to talk about right now. And remember, we're on the way to talking about why Jesus would honor both. Why did he participate in two Passovers? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. Remember, we're talking about over 700 years later in the history of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We're going to break into the context here, looking at verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 13. Now many people, a very great congregation, assembled at Jerusalem to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. This is not Nisan anymore. This is the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They stood in their place according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they received from the hand of the Levites. Brethren, we have recorded here a different Passover. This is not the domestic Passover. And you're probably beginning to see this is an institutional Passover. This is a temple Passover. Please note the difference. Israelites were supposed to set up their own Passovers at their own domiciles. They were supposed to participate in this process in their homes. Just outside of their homes, they would cut the throats of the lambs or of the kids. They would prepare the Passover. They ate it in their homes. We see here, after hundreds of years of slowly losing the memories of that process and God's attention to those instructions, they slowly but surely turned their backs on that. Yet, when there was a spiritual awakening under King Hezekiah, the people gathered together at the temple. It's interesting to note, therefore, we have to pay attention to what's missing in the original Passover. What's not there? Well, the first thing that should occur to us is there is no temple. That should remind you and me that God intends that each of us be a temple of His Holy Spirit. That was His goal, that was His intention. But the Israelites over time, and eventually Judah, began to look more and more to the temple as the location of holiness. But please note, that was never God's intention at the very beginning. He wanted each of us to be the temple of the Holy Spirit and to carry these thoughts about the sacrifice of Christ going forward. Even though the Israelites did not understand this, they were supposed to keep this ceremony as a memorial forever. If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, you'll see that it was meant to be a memorial forever and ever. It was meant to continue decade after decade, century after century. This was not the intention, the original intention. But you and I have to carry on now with this story. So here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. For there were many in the congregation, verse 17, who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean, to sanctify them to the Lord. They were not clean before the Lord. So Jesus, as the God of the Old Covenant, the administrator of the Old Covenant, allowed for a different Passover. He allowed for a temple Passover. He allowed for an institutional Passover. For the multitude of the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun had not cleansed themselves. They were not ceremonially clean. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone." And specifically, we're talking about everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. Notice that Hezekiah understood that a heart right before the eternal is what humans need. God does not need sacrifice. He does not need washings. He does not need special ceremonies. He needs to see that we have uncircumcised hearts. And King Hezekiah understood that principle. So God honored, we learned that God listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. God listened to Hezekiah and he healed the people. Now, so that you and I understand that there is a precedent to conducting this Passover in the second month, we should turn briefly to Numbers chapter 9. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 9. So for anybody who misses the Passover this year, there is a dispensation, there is an alternate ceremony available. It's provided for us here in Numbers chapter 9. And we're going to break into the context in verse 9. Numbers chapter 9, verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or of your posterity is unclean because of a dead body or far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it." So notice that God provides that dispensation even for us today. If we're not available on the 14th of Nisan, then the 14th of the next month is the time to keep the second Passover, we call it. And notice that's exactly what happens here under King Hezekiah. Now, once again, historians call this the temple Passover. I'm also calling it the institutional Passover, as opposed to the domestic Passover. The way to look at this event, therefore, brethren, is there were simply too many unclean participants. Under Old Covenant law, the people did have to be ceremonially clean, and they weren't. So imagine killing hundreds of lambs, hundreds of kids. It must have been a sight to behold, and one that took many, many hours. And according to one source I have, there were no instructions available. The knowledge of the domestic Passover had gone away. The people simply were not keeping the domestic Passover and hadn't been for scores of years, probably hundreds of years. That's probably hard for us to imagine, but the people had strayed so far from what God had intended. So the sheer numbers of the people wanting to come back to God demanded that there be an institutional Passover, that there be a temple Passover. So this change developed into the tradition that developed in Jesus Christ's time. It was very much alive, and that is the lambs were slaughtered during the daylight hours on Nisan 14, even during the very year when Jesus was sacrificed. Were they disobeying the law? According to 2 Chronicles verse 30, we're told here in verse 20, "And the Lord listened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people." He honored that temple Passover. He gave it credence. He honored it. The other was not being kept, so he allowed for this to be kept. He forgave the people, gave them a dispensation. But what's important for us to think about now is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ healed that breach of the two Passovers. Let's talk about that now. So Jesus' careful behavior on the day of his sacrifice, Nisan 14, is what deserves our attention right now. Now, just to help review where we've just been, we want to think about why the change from a domestic Passover to a temple Passover occurred. The people strayed. The people were not fulfilling their obligation. God said he wanted an individual relationship with each person. He said he did. I believe he did. The people at the time believed that he did. But they did not understand. They did not have the Holy Spirit the domestic Passover began to become passé, and so there needed to be another way to help honor the spiritual awakening that took place under King Hezekiah. So please keep that in mind as we go forward. So we're now concentrating on Jesus' actual sacrifice on the day of Nisan 14. And just to bring this into context again, remember that the lamb had to be selected on or by Nisan 10, 4 days before the sacrifice. The lamb had to be selected. So did Jesus even honor that detail of the domestic Passover? He did. Let's turn to John chapter 12. I'm an imperfect being. I have lapses of memory. I have occasional trouble with thinking logically and so forth. But it's interesting to note the Son of God didn't miss one jot, one tittle, one iota of the ceremonies that he instituted. He did not miss a thing so that everything could be fulfilled. John chapter 12 is an example of this. The lamb had to be selected by Nisan 10. Chapter 12, verse 1 of John. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and so forth. And then you're aware of the fact that his feet become anointed with a special herbed oil in preparation for the sacrifice that was to come. Then we drop down to verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, King of Israel. They were precisely correct. They were stating exactly what they needed to say. Then Jesus, verse 14, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat, a colt rather. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they understood. Then it made sense. The Son of God fulfilled everything about both the law and the prophets. He was meant to be the summary of all of those things in his sacrifice. And verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb, raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. And of course the Pharisees gainsay this event. But when you and I go back to Exodus verse 12, or rather chapter 12, this designation of Jesus as the Passover took place by the 10th of Nisan. Not on the 10th of Nisan, by the 10th of Nisan. So if we were to go through the calendar, we'd probably find that this is either the 8th or the 9th of Nisan. But the Passover lamb was designated by Nisan 10. Please note that. A fulfillment of prophecy, a fulfillment of the domestic Passover. Exactly what should have happened. Now, we don't need to review this because we know these details well. You and I know that brand new symbols were instituted at twilight on Nisan 14, at the beginning of that day. We know about the bread. We know about the wine. We know that the timing of Exodus 12 and the domestic Passover was a memorial forever. Can we not agree that Jesus fulfilled, that he honored the domestic Passover? I think we can. We would say, yes, the evidence is right there. At twilight, he instituted the new symbols, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. We have the red wine and we have the unleavened bread. So, to demonstrate quite literally that Jesus was the Passover lamb for everybody, including the Jews, he had, of course, to go one step further, thereby healing the breach of the two Passovers. And, of course, what are we talking about? At 3 p.m., during the daylight hours of Nisan 14, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was sacrificed. And this is what happened in Hezekiah's day. The priests cut the lambs of the throats of the lambs, rather, of the kids, during the afternoon of Nisan 14. Jesus brought that Passover back into harmony with the original domestic Passover, and this was meant to be a witness to all Jews that indeed Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the fulfillment of the temple Passover, the institutional Passover. He was the fulfillment of the domestic Passover. But here's the important point for you and me. Did the Jews remotely understand that he was the fulfillment of the domestic Passover? Did they see the wine and the bread? Were they exposed to those new symbols? We'd have to shake our heads no. But we know that he instituted those symbols. We are supposed to be a part of that tradition of keeping the domestic Passover alive. It is a memorial forever. The temple Passover, the institutional Passover, was not meant to be a memorial forever. It was not meant to continue beyond the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what happened historically? You and I know that by 70 AD, the temple had to go away. The fulfillment of the purpose of the temple had occurred. It had to go away under the new covenant. It could not continue to exist. The sacrifices could not continue. Slaughtering lambs and kids on Nisan 14 in the daylight hours, that could not continue. What had to continue going forward was the domestic Passover. And you and I will honor that Passover in the twilight of April 18th. The twilight of April 18th, we will honor that particular event. We want to highlight just one more feature. Notice that under the rules of Exodus 12, the body of the lamb could not continue. It had to be burned by fire. By the morning, by the daylight portion of Nisan 14, the body of the lambs could not continue. Please note that the body of Jesus Christ very much continued into the daylight portions of Nisan 14. So we can't ignore the fact, once again, that he was attempting to heal the breach between the two Passovers. That he was closing down an old system that he allowed under King Hezekiah, shutting that down, but making sure that people like you and me 2,000 years later would continue the domestic Passover. So we can't emphasize that detail enough. So, brethren, without doubt, as we sit here today, you and I can say that we know what's significant about April 18th, 3 p.m. Historically, many people will have a grasp of what happened under King Hezekiah, sacrifices of the lambs during the daylight hours of Nisan 14. Many, many people understand that. But you and I understand that we will have already celebrated the domestic Passover that is now the new covenant Passover, and it is meant to be a memorial forever. But now, brethren, I'm asking you to think, not to keep the ceremony or to keep the second Passover or the institutional Passover, not to keep it alive, but on April the 18th, brethren, I am asking that you and I think, take some time out to think about the literal sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ at 3 p.m. on April the 18th. Once again, not to honor the institutional or temple Passover, but to remember that with that sacrifice, with the death of his body, came a closure to a system that won't ever exist again, in the sense that you and I are redeemed by the sacrifice of God. God in the flesh delivered us from that system of sacrifices, and we know that God does not want sacrifice. He doesn't need special ceremonies. He wants to know that we are loyal to him from our hearts. The ceremonies help. The ceremonies are a way to accomplish this. Now, to bring this to a close, let's look at Revelation chapter 13, and specifically the name of God that shows up in a special part of Revelation chapter 13. Remember, today we've been talking about the Lamb of God and the tale of the two Passovers. Revelation chapter 13. There are two portions in my New King James Version of Revelation chapter 13. The subtitle for the first part is "The Beast Out of the Sea." Some of you may have this kind of subtitle. And the second part of the chapter has a subtitle, "The Beast Out of the Earth." So we're talking about apparently two forms of the beast or of the beast power, two different points of view. But notice the animal that shows up in the middle. This is where we want to direct our attention. Verse 8, "And all who dwelled on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." There will be millions of people who will participate in the beast power because their names have not been written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb. Notice the image here is not to the lion or to the eagle. It's to the Lamb. And at some future point, brethren, I'd like to address the different faces of Jesus Christ. We can note here, he deeply desires to be the Lamb of the people. He will have to be a lion. He will have to come back. He will have to bring all peoples under subjection. But that's not really the animal he wants to be. He wants to be the Lamb, gentle, meek, humble, kind, asking that you and I be the same. So if we want to be in the book of life, notice the next verse. "If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear what the speaker of this prophecy has just said." If you and I want to be lambs and we want to be in the book of life as lambs, to be in cooperation with the Lamb, you and I have to understand the significance of the domestic Passover, that Jesus desires to live in each one of us as a temple. Each one of us is to be a temple. With that knowledge, you and I, with at least, that's just one of the pieces of knowledge we need, you and I can be a part of a very different system. We can be a part of a system that relies on sacrifice, giving, humility, helping, trying to make life better for other people. That's the kind of being that Jesus wants in his book of life. That's what he was. That's what he was trying to show us. That's what he brought. So in reality, brethren, you and I now can think about the fact, yes, there is just one Passover, and one Passover will continue from now into memoriam. It will not change. Temporarily it changed. It will not change going forward. Why? Because the Lamb of God has brought all things into subjection. Everything now has a singular purpose, has a singular focus, and a brand new system of help, succor, assistance, a system of sacrifice, but of the kind of sacrifice that Paul calls a living sacrifice. That's the system that's going to continue. So as you and I sit down in the twilight hours of Passover, which this year will be April 18th, let's think about the fact that we're participating in a system that is so different from the old system. It's not a system of competition. It's a system of cooperation, of assistance, of serving. Because our Savior set that example for you and me, and the covenant, the symbols of the covenant, set up the expectation for us. So he temporarily allowed for a separate Passover or a parallel tradition because the other had not been honored. For you and me, we are aware that the breach has been healed. It's been sealed. It's been put aside now, and there is just the singular Passover for you and me to think about, for you and me to honor. But I'm still asking, brethren, that on the 18th, during the daylight hours, let's send a prayer of thanks at roughly 3 p.m. that God has set aside an old system, that he has allowed for a new system, his original intent, that you and I be part of the sheepfold of God, led by the Lamb, capital L, the Lamb of God, and this is what God desires. I certainly hope and pray that you will have a wonderful Passover and unleavened bread season, and my wife and I look forward to being among you.